You're listening to a Mash Those Buttons podcast, brought to you ad-free with the support of our patrons. Visit mashthosebuttons.com or stay tuned after the show for more details. Welcome to the Mash Those Buttons show, where we cover the latest in games, community, culture, and everything in between. This week, CD Projekt Red got hacked, a new PogChamp has been crowned, and Jack Black has been cast as Claptrap. This is episode number 40, and we're recording for the week of February 8th, 2021. I am Jarrett, but you can call me Ja, and I am here with the Games Industry Public Defender and the Scourge of Ironforge, Nick Zelenkevich.
I think right now I'm the scourge of anywhere healthy, but hey, how's everybody doing?
That's fucking depressing, Nick, but I'm gonna move on.
You have not been trapped in a house with two vomiting kids for 4 days, so don't tell me about depressing.
And also here, a special guest. He's my podcast pitch hitter, man. He's my podcast starter. Mikey Phillips, also known as Keylock.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Good to be back.
Oh, he sounds so enthusiastic.
That's the energy that I miss.
is that the energy you miss? Hold on, we can find something to argue about real quick, I'm sure. 1 second.
Oh, we'll get into it.
It's gonna come up. Yeah, it's gonna come up. Oh yeah. So you're with me for 201X the entire time, but yeah, you're with us on the MASHcast for a little bit. You started on Double Tap. Uh-huh. You started dropping Spicy. Uh-huh. You started Watchpoint Radio. This guy's a fucking legend.
I start and then I'm like, I don't want to be popular anymore. And then I just walk away.
I don't think I've ever said this out loud before, but me and you had a conversation one time. And, you know, we joked about the fact that you'll do like a show for a while and then like you kind of get bored with the game. You want to kind of move on from it.
Yeah.
And from that conversation, that planted a seed. And that's one of the things that kind of inspired me to start doing limited series.
Is that what did it? Because you realize people just get bored from games and they want to do something else. Like,
I was like, you know what? I could do that. And that's why I was like, oh, 201X, that's right up Mikey's alley.
Yeah.
And he did it. I was like, gotcha, bitch.
Yeah, I mean, as long as it's not long and doesn't, you know, longer than like probably like what, 50 episodes? Longer than 50 episodes, yeah. I'll do it.
Yeah.
Like something like that. I have a limit at 50. It's like, I really don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah, he's like, I need to see other podcasts.
I need to see other games, other podcasts. I can't just do one thing. I get bored. But yeah.
Yeah.
Shout outs to Double Tap. Yeah.
Oh man. So how you guys been doing? Mike, why don't you go first? You're our guest this week.
I've been doing good. I've been playing my comfort food games, which is the games that make me depressed.
What?
Yeah, I've been playing a lot of League of Legends and Valorant because it's like the junk food of just like I eat it up and then I just get sad after eating it, but then I just keep eating it anyway. Like, right. I don't know.
Overwatch is like that for a lot of people.
Yeah, I dropped Overwatch finally, like completely and utterly, like cold turkey. Like I finally dropped game because I couldn't anymore. I can't even remember the last update on that. Like, man.
I hop in for the events and try to get like the skins. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, I just turn my brain off for the most part. Like I'll hop in quick play classic and hop on fucking, on like ball or whatever. And like, if we win, we win.
Yeah,
that's how it goes. I have myself a good time.
Quick play classic. What is that? This is how long it's been since I played Overwatch. Like I don't even know what that game is.
They changed it for role queue. Like now, like the official way to play the game is like you have to pick a role.
Yeah,
and it'll give you there's two spots for DPS, two spots for tank, two spots for heal. But quick play classic allows you to play any role. So like you can roll in with all six tanks if you want to.
Oh, but
I have definitely done that.
Do they lets you do the six tracers like you used to, or is it still only one character?
That is called, they still have that mode. They do still have that mode. I forget what it's called, though.
Okay.
But they do have that mode where you can play like two divas, you know.
So the competitive way to play is much like League of Legends, where it's like you have to play this role, deal with it, scrub. Then they have the modes where it's like free for all, and then they have the modes where it's like, let's go back to 1.0 where you could do whatever the fuck you want. Like, all right, cool.
So they have done that.
That's fun. Nice. But yeah, other than that, like, I haven't been playing like a whole lot. Mostly because nothing's really come out since Hades that's really grabbed me really hard. Like, and it's been hard for anything to really get my, I've actually been thinking about going back and playing older games a bit more. I say older games and I'm like, Okami, or like, I might go back and play HZD again, just because comfort. I was talking about comfort food. Horizon Zero Dawn is a very comfort food for me. Yeah. I thought about playing Nier Automata again before Nier Replicant comes out, because. But we'll see if I actually do that, or if I probably just end up just playing League and Valorant and hating myself. So
you probably will, because that's the point of comfort food. Like, it's the easy choice, right?
It really is. It really is. It's just log in and then hit play and then group up with five people and then just be like, here we go.
I will say, I think if you do start Horizon Zero Dawn again, you'll just get sucked right back. And I know I did. I played 20 hours of that game like it was nothing. Like, it was like a blank. I was like, what happened? What happened in the 20 hours? Where was I?
Yeah, you know? That's what I feel. I also feel that way if I started playing Hades, because there are still some things in Hades I haven't finished yet. Like, I've rolled the double credits, but I haven't done like the 30 heat yet or anything above 30 heat. And I could go back and go do that. And I still haven't done that yet. But like, and I could probably dump hours into that game still. Like, there's still so much to do in that game I haven't finished yet.
Mm. But,
and I loved Hades when it came out. I haven't really gotten to like spill about that, but like, yeah, I've just been thinking of going back and replaying stuff to break my habit of playing League and Valorant, but League and Valorant have kind of got their teeth in me right now.
I can understand that sentiment.
But what have y'all been playing? What's going on with y'all?
Nick has been playing, you know, Chase the Kid with the Bucket.
Pretty much. Pretty much.
That sounds about right.
No, we actually, one of the games that he likes playing on the Wii is Smash Brothers Melee. And so I printed out the FAQ or whatever for like, how do you unlock all the characters in there? Cause I forgot, like, you have the three little question marks at the bottom, but then there's a whole bunch of characters on the side and I'm like, oh crap. So we've been working our way through there. And I spent the better part of this afternoon trying to beat that cheesy ass Ganondorf fight where it's you and Zelda versus Ganondorf, but he's got two lives. And if he punks Zelda, then you still lose. And so, of course, I beat it, and then Ganondorf beats the crap out of me, and it took me a second try, and so I was all excited I got that. I got to cross him off the sheet. So we still have to get, Mewtwo, Mr. Game & Watch, Pichu, and Falco.
Did you get Luigi already?
Oh, yeah, we got Luigi a while ago.
Okay, good. Yeah.
So we've been working our way through that, so the kid's been enjoying that. Although, it's funny, because he likes doing the adventure mode, and he'll just go through and do that, and I'm like, no, you gotta give it to me. I gotta sit here, and I gotta try to beat these... What is like the 128 guys or whatever to get Falco? So you just got to sit there and watch Daddy get frustrated for like an hour. Let's do that.
Like, let the kid just play his damn adventure mode.
Yeah, right. God. I should. But like, no, I want it so that, like, you know, when he's older, this is kind of where I'm stuck on this, because I did the same thing. Like, I have Crash Team Racing, and I want him to, like, when he's a little bit older, be able to play that. And like, I want to have all the characters unlocked for him, so he can be like, I can be like, you can pick whatever skin you want when you play. And then I realized, like, part of the fun is unlocking this stuff, like, to actually make the list and go through, actually do that. And I'm like, I'm kind of cheating him of that experience by going through beforehand and like, oh no, you've got everything here. I unlocked everything. I got all the currency to buy all the stuff. You can play it and do whatever you want. And he's gonna play it for like 5 minutes, be like, this is boring. So I don't know, like, I kind of feel like I should go back and like start a new save or whatever and just be like, you gotta earn it all from scratch now. You gotta do that yourself. But it's like, is he gonna enjoy that? I don't know. I'm overthinking this, because he's like a year away from getting into like Roblox or Minecraft or whatever, and like, he's just gonna be gone in his own thing. And I'm gonna be like, but play Warcraft with me. And he's like, no, screw you, Dad. So
Just let the kid play what he fucking wants.
Pretty much.
Like, if, but don't start a new save. There's stuff still to unlock. You haven't unlocked everything yet, right?
The Smash Brothers, no, but he's been like with me for that. I'm talking like the Crash Team Racing one. I've been doing that, like, I was, because I like that game's what that came out like 2 years ago now for the PlayStation, a year and a half. So I've been working on that since, you know, like, see, he never really got into that, and like, I think he's old enough now. He probably could, but it's one of those things where, you know, you have to balance the fun of actually unlocking everything against the, oh hey, here's you want this one character, we got it, you're good, go play with that. And we'll see. He'll have his own stuff. He's gonna get into his own stuff, and it's gonna be weird.
So yeah, we're gonna go ahead and start moving into our main topics. Before we do that, though, I'd like to welcome any first time listeners. Thank you guys very much for taking the time to listen to the Mashles Button Show, and thank you very much for any returning listeners. We appreciate you, you know, coming back for another listen. Also, like to give a very special thanks to our supporters, which, you know, are on Patreon, and our Twitch subscribers. And if you want to follow us on Twitch, you can do so at twitch.tv/mashthosebuttons. And you can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/themashnetwork if you want to keep up with what's going on with us. We also have a Discord, which is mash.gg/discord, where you can join our Discord community, you know, talk about games, or, you know, you can get Mike's help on Final Fantasy 14. So he's in there.
Y'all have Pop-Tart. Pop-Tart can help you at FF14.
That is true. That is true. All right. So let's get started. Let's talk about CD Projekt Red. They got hacked and the data was sold. So I believe it was Tuesday, CD Projekt Red, the network was penetrated and data was siphoned for it. Or at least I shouldn't say it happened Tuesday. They got their ransom note on Tuesday. I mean, to pull as much data as the hackers did, they had to be in there for at least a week. I want to say probably maybe even weeks, because they probably would have noticed all that bandwidth. So what was taken? Source code for Cyberpunk 2077, source code for The Witcher 3, source code for Gwent, and source code for a unreleased version of The Witcher 3, which I think they said was a ray traced version of it. So get ready to play that again, guys. And also, they're stolen info like accounting information, legal information, HR. All of their servers were encrypted and held at ransom, but most businesses don't pay that, because you should have a backup of your servers and you'll just restore the backups. The hackers threatened to sell the data because they didn't expect to get the ransom from CD Projekt Red. But they threatened to sell the data and give the documents to their contacts in games journalism if CD Projekt Red did not pay the ransom. And since they didn't pay the ransom, later in the week it was sold for somewhere between $1 million to $7 million. We just don't know where it actually landed. So if you're thinking this is not really a problem, like, haha, CD Projekt Red got pwned, there's a couple issues with this, right? That could even affect you if you have one of their games. So one of the issues, obviously, with the information that was stolen, the accounting information was stolen, but I'd be more concerned about the HR information that was stolen, because of their employees. It could lead to like identity theft and, you know, stuff like that. I don't think they said they hacked any of their like client systems. So like, if you have an account on, I forget what the name of their launcher is. Oh, the GOG launcher, right? I don't think that affected those people, but it also did affect, like, you know, they sold source code for a bunch of games, and, you know, that's a problem for a developer in general, because, you know, if you have a proprietary engine that you built, that puts your private IP out in the public. Additionally, you know, one thing that could affect users is the fact now that the source, they know that they have the source code. If they find an exploit or a weakness in the source code, that could hurt people who have, they could write an exploit for anybody who's running those games, right? Like, that's, if you're old enough, think back to like Windows XP, right? And Windows XP was always railed for how many viruses you can get using Windows XP. But the problem actually wasn't Windows XP. The problem was with Adobe Flash and then Adobe Reader. That's where the exploits were. That software was getting exploited. So hackers were right, and they knew that a lot of people had that software. So hackers would write exploits or malicious code that would affect Flash or Reader, get control of your system, and install a virus. And this is kind of the same vein. Like, if you have one of these games installed, and, you know, if they find an exploit for it, this could hurt you as well. So, you know, I don't know if I don't want to say I feel bad for them, but It sucks. It's a shitty situation, you know?
Yeah, it's... This has been an interesting time for CDPR in general, right? Like, this whole year, pretty much. And, like, this... I don't think any developer or publisher deserves this to happen to them, like, at all. Like, no one deserves this to happen. And it's just... This is just shitty. Like, this is just bad. No one deserves to have this happen. I'm really worried now that you mentioned about, like, people who are running this game could now be hurt because of whatever they could find. I mean, I'm thinking about, like, could they possibly even hurt people who are running this game on Stadia? Like...
No, I don't think so, because Stadia runs all remotely across cloud. It just essentially just streams to your computer. So
right, but could they get something from the? But nah, Google wouldn't let that. Google is probably tighter than that shit.
Yeah, like because the system that it's running on has to be affected, and I'm pretty sure like the Stadia version of it isn't just running on like a cloud version of Windows. Like it's being processed in a different way.
Right. I'm just really curious. Like, I am very curious what the repercussions of all this is going to be. Like, who actually got, I mean, who knows if we'll ever know who actually got this, who the highest bidder was and what they're going to do with it. But
yeah,
the repercussions of this will be very interesting to see, for no doubt, especially because this game is supposed to be supported more so. And if more people are going to pick it up later on when it's actually like, more functional to console users, like, yikes.
So CD Projekt, what country are they from? Because they're not a U.S. company.
They're Poland,
right? I mean, I don't know what kind of government services Poland has, right? But I know, like, if this was a U.S. company, the U.S. like they could like approach the FBI or something like that and get assistance with that. And if the FBI was able to get, you know, find out who did it, you know, there could be some major repercussions for the hacking group, you know.
If they find them.
If they find them, which the FBI has found, like, you know, when some large corporations over here have gotten hacked, the FBI have done a decent job.
Right, the FBI. But again, because it's kind of, I think we're getting to the point you're trying to make. Because this is a Polish company and who knows
exactly.
What. Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know, but yeah, I mean, it does suck. I mean, I understand that people were upset about the game. I mean, especially if I was a console player, I completely understand people being upset about what happened on the consoles, right?
I feel the worst for are the people who bought the Xbox One Cyberpunk Special Edition version of that console.
Yeah. Because,
like, that's not only, like, the previous gen console, and we already know how well that... You literally bought like a thing that's supposed to be like Cyberpunk and it can't even run it like as proper. Just feels bad. I mean, I'm laughing and I shouldn't be because it's not like a laughing matter, but that would just be what the fuck, man.
Yeah, it sucks. But like, there's just no excuse because I mean, yeah, like I think they were targeted because they were in, you know, they've been in the public eye or negatively portrayed in the public eye for, you know, a couple months now.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think the hackers thought that people wouldn't care as much, or maybe they'd even be cheered on. But I haven't heard anybody cheering them on like, yeah, you got pwned, CD Projekt. This is for messing up our game. Like, you know.
No, this is bad. This is not okay. I think a lot of people are in the boat of like, this isn't cool. Like, this should not be a thing that happens.
Absolutely.
I think if the source code was like publicly released so people could like comb through and be like, aha, like this is where your stupid I'm on top of my car naked bug is, like right here, like if they like circle that, like I think people might take a little bit more delight in this, but we know like whoever actually paid $7 million for the source code, that's not what they're going to do with it. That
absolutely not. No,
that's the problem. If they had hacked them with some sort of like faux, like, you know, like benefactor, like motive where they're like, oh no, we want to help you, like open source your code and we can fix it for you, you know, like as misguided as that might be, I think people could actually like be like, oh yeah, they kind of need that. But no, it's this is just anybody that's left still supporting CDPR is just, they're just as screwed as the company at this point, because they're, you know, who knows what kind of exploits they're going to find. I mean, hopefully their code is, you know, airtight and there are no exploits in there, with at least with respect to their like security. But I mean, if the rest of the game is any basis to go on, maybe not.
Yeah, this is what I think the biggest effect. Hopefully I'm right, and hopefully it's not a larger impact. But I think the biggest effect we're going to see, the biggest impact, I should say, is when the Cyberpunk multiplayer comes out. With the source code being available, it's going to be so much easier to develop hacks for it, you know?
Yeah, and they're supposed to be trying to do, like, it's supposed to be like a GTA Online situation, right? Like a living world kind of thing. That's what they're going for.
Yeah, that's what they're going for.
Oh, that's not going to be bueno with someone having the source code. Like, that's going to
if hacks are readily available from like day one, I mean, it could really kill their multiplayer right there. So that's why I'm hoping CD Projekt starts to focus on, you know, closing up bugs and stuff like that, and really play testing and trying to figure out what you know, where the holes are in the code, and you know, hopefully that won't be a problem. So I guess we'll see what happens. This is going to be one of those things that's going to roll out over the course of like the next year or two, you know. So we'll see what's going on with that. But moving on, let's talk about Anthem a little bit. And I don't know, it might be the last time or the second to last time we talk about Anthem, because according to reports from Bloomberg, specifically Jason Schreier, the fate of Anthem was decided sometime last week. So Electronic Arts, I'm going to read a little bit from their website here. Electronic Arts, Inc. will hold a meeting this week to determine whether if it will continue to create a new version of the failed game Anthem, according to three people familiar with the matter. This week, EA executives will review the latest version of Anthem next and decide whether to expand the team or abandon the project. People said who asked not to be named discussing private information. The Anthem Next team includes about 30 people, BioWare said last year. People familiar with the project said it will need to expand to at least triple that in order to produce new content and continue attempting to overhaul the game. EA has not yet indicated whether it's willing to commit that kind of budget or to revive a maligned game. EA says it does not comment on rumors and speculation. So I think I was wrong. I think the last I heard, there were only six people on that team. I didn't realize they expanded the team. So they expanded the team to 30 people sometime last year, which is still a small team, but it's better than six.
I think the six, I think, were just to get their design goals together and figure out what they were going to do. And I guess the 30 was probably to actually implement the base framework of that. And then now that they've got some sort of demo that they can actually demonstrate. Yeah. And because that's what you do with the demos, you demonstrate. And then,
it's all, I think it's going to boil down to like what the corporate execs have to decide, was this demo fun to play? Right. Like, is it worth throwing bodies at this project? And then I'm thinking that means you're going to be throwing bodies that you're going to be pulling off of Dragon Age and whatever the next Mass Effect game is going to be at it, right?
That is true from a BioWare perspective, but EA is a collective of developers. If EA, and I think, you know, EA can move or take some of their other developers and have them work in unison with BioWare on these.
But who?
Well,
it
actually makes sense if you think about the timeline, because Mass Effect Legendary Edition is coming out in what, May? And so you figure if they decide now, okay, we want to go with Anthem, let's start ramping it up, they can start pulling people off Mass Effect as they finish up their work there, because I don't think there's going to be any like prolonged DLC or anything like that. So they have like a pool of developers that are finishing up a project, basically, they can start pulling from. They can always hire more if they want to, and
I figure we're like in the throes of, like, because if you look at what they showed at Dragon Age last time, it was pretty minuscule. Like, I still feel like Dragon Age is far the fuck away unless they are like all team on board, let's get Dragon Age done, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like if they want Dragon Age done at a more reasonable time frame, you're going to have to throw the team of almost all of Team BioWare at it to get it wrapped up, because in a reasonable time window. So I feel like if they throw bodies at Anthem, we're looking at an even longer delayed Dragon Age, and who in the hell knows what they're doing about the next Mass Effect game that they said that they have in the works. You know what I mean?
Well, you also have to take a look at how game dev works. And obviously I'm not a full expert here, but I do know that somebody you have people moving in and out of different parts of development throughout the project, right? Which is like why one of the reasons DLC actually helps developers stay employed, because when they get done with their part of the game and then move it on to the next team, they now still have something new to do. So we don't even know, the thing about Anthem is that it's a complete game that sucks. They need to just fix it. You know what I'm saying? Like that's the thing. So there's a lot of things that are going to be overhauled. So it's not like they're creating something from scratch. So I think with the way game dev kind of works, you can have certain people work on certain that project for a certain period of time. Then they move on to maybe they do something for Dragon Age, and then maybe they do something for Mass Effect. Like they don't have to be dedicated to that project the entire time. Because we're talking about rebuilding systems. I don't think they're gonna have to rebuild assets. Like we're talking about for the most part, rebuilding game systems and how the game kind of works there.
I mean, they're gonna have to come up with new content. They'll have to come up with new zones, new content, new enemies. They could reuse assets, something wrong. They could reuse a lot of enemies and stuff like that, but you're gonna still have to come up with new ways to make gameplay interesting.
But if this is a live service game, they're always gonna need that. Like they're gonna build a team, and that team is gonna have to be dedicated to Anthem for the long haul, and they're not gonna be people that you're gonna then be pulling to Dragon Age and pulling to Mass Effect, because they're gonna have to keep constantly churning out stuff for Anthem. So
only if the game takes off.
I was gonna say they wouldn't throw people there if that's what they're deciding. Do we want to throw people there and assume the game is gonna take off, or do we wanna just nuke it now?
Right. That's the thing. Like they would prepare. So even when Anthem came out, they had more content in the works. Like, okay, we're going to release this 6 months from now and this 6-9 months from now. But the game was received so poorly that they had to completely stop all of that. So first of all, EA wants a live service game. They want a live service game, in the vein of Destiny. They want it. That's why they had them build Anthem in the first place. Gamers want Anthem to be good. We want to be Iron Man. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the thing. Like, we want Anthem to be good, but yeah, like that's the thing. Like, everybody's rooting for it to be good, but EA is, that's what the, like Nick said, they're trying to determine whether or not it's really going to be, worth it. And they've only had a team of 30 working on it. So it's kind of hard. Like the EA is going to have to look at this prototype and be like, and really see the vision behind it and think, see if they can pull it off or not. So
I don't have hope. If Dragon Age wasn't already in the works, and if they already didn't hint about some kind of Mass Effect project, I would have more of a hope that Anthem was a thing. But I can't. What was EA's big last game last year?
Madden?
No. What did EA have a big game other than Madden?
FIFA?
Other than EA Sports.
I can't what think was of a EA's big EA game last year. I can't think of a big EA game.
Do you think they're going to do another year like that?
Well, with Madden and FIFA,
they can survive it.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
EA Sports can survive. Can the other EA studios survive?
I think you're underestimating how much money.
I guess I underestimate the FIFA card market.
The reason EA can just be so lax about what, like, how they handle games and game studios is because they have
They closed Visceral, though. Because these are people who are just lax, though. They can just close that fucking studio down. It's like nothing.
Yeah, like, that's that. Like, they're just like, yeah, like, as long as Madden sells, as long as FIFA sells, they got another college game coming out. Like, EA Sports is like their bread and butter, man. And then they still have, like, mobile games on top of that. You know, they got the card packs. Like, that, all that stuff is generating so much money. Apex is doing well, you know.
If that's true, then why they close Amy Hennig's game?
Because they probably just felt it wasn't going to make enough money. That's kind of the issue there. You know,
I mean, then do you think that, then I guess we'll see if they think Anthem is going to make enough money. Because I do not think it would. I mean, I don't think they will think, how much money would we lose if we didn't release Dragon Age this year versus having Anthem ready or not. Like, dude, I don't know.
I honestly wouldn't expect Dragon Age to, like, 2023?
Maybe 2022. But still, like, I feel like it was weird that they didn't have, like, a huge game. Like, before that was Jedi Fallen Order, right? Like, that was their big game.
But that wasn't even their, like, to them, that wasn't their big game. Madden is the show, baby.
I know. Bro, you can't wait till that NFL license is done. And, like,
they just renewed it. Like, didn't they? Like, just renew it? They just renewed it, like, last year. You think Roger Goodell gives a fuck about who makes the football game as long as he's getting the money back?
Man, I was so hoping that the NFL license would go up and there'd actually be some fucking competition.
No.
Football games.
Madden, I said Madden's a show. In reality, I'm pretty sure FIFA's the show. I'm pretty sure FIFA, like, outsells Madden. But that's the thing, that, like, they can
worldwide.
It's all football. They can, you know,
it's all EA football.
As a developer can really afford, not a developer, as a publisher can really afford to try crazy shit with how they make money on games. Like, think about Battlefront. Like, they just push that shit out. Like, yeah, they'll take it. It's whatever. And then they completely bounce back from it and redevelop the game in a way that people actually really enjoy it now. You know, you know who EA is? EA is the Microsoft of game publishers. Microsoft. Now, stay with me, Mike. You know, I'm looking at his face. I'm looking at his face. Stay with me here. I'm going to draw these lines, okay?
Keep going. I'm listening.
Microsoft fucked up the Xbox One's launch so bad that 7 years later, seven years later, they still did not recover fully from how bad that launch was. But you know that Microsoft, I think in 2012 and 2013, maybe even 2014, I have to double check, took a $2 billion loss on the Xbox division, shrugged it off because they have fuck you money. You know, they shrugged it off. And what did they do? They built what is the best game console available on the market today. The Xbox Series X is a better console from a hardware perspective and even from a services perspective than the PS5. It is. The Xbox One X was, oh God, it ate the PS Pro's lunch, you know, in terms of being a console.
Hardware, yes.
Hardware. Yeah. They're making crazy acquisitions. They bought Bethesda. You know what I'm saying? They bought Bethesda. So, yeah, EA is the Microsoft of game publishers. But because they make so much money off of that EA Sports brand, they are able to make mistakes. You know, do, like, try crazy shit, make mistakes, and recover from it. You know what I'm saying?
Now I just imagine the EA CEO throwing around chairs, yelling, "Developers, developers, developers!"
Yeah, like, I mean, even so, I'm pretty sure Activision is a larger publisher from a financial perspective, but I don't think Activision can make the mistakes that EA has. I don't think they recover from the mistakes that EA has.
I guess not, because FIFA is a worldwide seller, right? Like, that shit sells world fucking wide. Like, Call of Duty. Yeah. I don't know how Call of Duty sells outside of the states, but that feels like I feel like it's a very local, statewide, like,
they adjust seller, for it.
Not so much world.
Call of Duty sells really well. Across the globe, it sells pretty well, but in some places like China, it wouldn't sell. So what did they do? They made the free-to-play Call of Duty. And in other places, what they do, they make Call of Duty Mobile. Activision pivots way more to cover their spots. You know, that's what they do. EA just like, oh man, fuck that up. Oh well, clean it up. That's what they did. You know, and honestly, well, I want to say if they cleaned up Battlefront, why wouldn't they clean up Anthem? But then again, Battlefront is a Star Wars property, you know, so that's a little different.
Disney would be like, excuse me, you can't make our Star Wars game bad. Go fucking fix it.
Like, well, actually, the rumor that I heard, and this came from not like a gaming source, but this came from like CNN Money or something like that when I was like watching it one day. And they're like, it is rumored that, oh God, who's the president of Disney now? It's, what is his name?
It's not Iger.
I don't know.
It's Bob Iger, right?
No, what is it Bob Iger? Is he back? He left, but then I think
It was when Battlefront 2 came out. So what was that, 2018? It was it Bob Iger?
Yeah, I think it would have been Bob Iger.
Bob Chapek? Then. I don't know.
Yeah, I think it was Iger at the time. And apparently he was reading some type of financial journal and saw what was happening in the financial journal, because that's how big of a screw-up it was for EA that it made it to some financial journal. And he called the fucking CEO of EA directly.
Man. Oh, no. Oh, no.
When you fuck up that bad.
You don't want that call. No.
When a game industry fucks up that bad to where it gets noticed in, like, the eyeballs of, like, outside of gaming, you know you fucked up.
Yeah, I was like, wow, they really fucked it up. But honestly, when I picked the Battlefront for $5, I was very pleased with the game.
$5, I'm sure you were.
I was like, oh, this is a pretty good single player.
But see, like the fact that you
for
can talk
$5.
About, exactly. The fact that you can talk about getting Battlefront for so cheap kind of brings up the problem here is that if they're going to throw money at this, how are they getting a return on their investment? Because people already paid for Anthem. People own the game. You can't just be like, well, here's Anthem 2.0, and you got to buy a whole new game, another $60 for it.
So everybody who got it gets the update for free.
Right.
Hands down.
Right. Hands down. So there's already a big disincentive to even invest in it, because there's a huge chunk of the interested player base that you already got their money, and you know, you're not getting any more.
You got early adopters. People were skeptical of Anthem, and that's why they didn't buy it. They were waiting to hear what people said, especially after the beta. So, let's imagine that Anthem. No, actually, we don't even have to imagine, right? Anthem sold, but it didn't sell that well. And I know it didn't sell well because they completely stopped working on the DLC. If Anthem sold really well, they would have kept working on the DLC. Because they're like, we got the money, you know? That's like Destiny and Destiny 2. When Destiny came out and people were start railing against it, they didn't like pull back any content and say, we're going to fix this stuff. They just delivered more DLC. And then it delivered more DLC. They didn't start fixing Destiny year one issues until year two.
But that's only because that's how long it took them to save their work and then upload it into the system. And then they had to go eat lunch or something and then come back.
Yeah, like that's the thing. Like, so like if a bunch of people bought Anthem, then I think they would have kept on with the development the way they were and just fixed it over time. Cause at that point people would still like they had the money, but I think it's because people weren't buying it. So once Anthem comes back, and if it does real and if it's good, people will start buying it again. Look at No Man's Sky, you know? So that's what EA, I think they really have to kind of wrestle with here if they're gonna, you know, wanna deal with that or not. So I guess we'll see. Mm-hmm. But I'm hoping for it. I want it to be good. I want it to be good. I don't know. I'm a dreamer. I'm a dreamer. Every time I play Destiny, I'm like, I hope it's good this time. Fuck.
I literally loaded up Destiny 2 a while back and was like, I want to see if I like this. I still don't like it.
It angers me because from a shooting perspective, it is so good. So mechanically good. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, they can't get the content down. They just can't, you know. So, teardrop for Destiny. But yeah, I hope they do fix it. Let's move on to something a bit more lighthearted. New PogChamp has been crowned. Twitch viewers have elected a new PogChamp. Oh, this is from Polygon, by the way. Twitch viewers have elected a new PogChamp on Friday. Komodo Hype, a meme-worthy Komodo dragon, became the new face of PogChamp emote after a month-long trial period, the streaming company announced the results of the election on Twitter. Oh, by the way, that announcement was too long. I'm sorry. You should have just made it an image, to be perfectly honest, because shit wasn't even funny. Now I'm done. Like, it just, I was like, come on now. I just want to see. But yeah, so that's the new PogChamp. If you don't remember what happened with PogChamp before, what was it? It's Gutex.
Yeah, Gutex.
He was promoting violence with the riots that happened, you know, when the Capitol got invaded on the 6th. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like he was like, oh yeah. So he was no longer PogChamp. But you know what? That whole situation, I think, did a ton for his brand. Like, there were so many people who didn't know who he was. Like, they just used the emote, and now they know. They either hate him or they like him, you know? But, like,
he had a scene in the FTC because of the adventure, because of back in the old days, there was the adventures of the awesome adventures of Gutex and what was his name?
Right. Well, I knew I know he was known in the FGC. People in the FGC know, but like, think about all the millions upon millions of people who use Twitch and they just use the emote. Like, they just didn't know who he was. They just probably thought he was some Asian guy. He's not even Asian, but you know, some Asian guy making a face, you know? Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure he's Hispanic or Latino. I can't remember his last name.
I honestly don't know, and I'm not going to comment on what his nationality might be on the fact that I might fuck it up.
But I thought his last name was like Gutierrez or something like that.
To be honest, the fact that we're giving him this much of a talking already is like, I don't like the guy anymore. He can go fucked up right the fuck off. I do not give a shit. I thought it was cool what they were doing with the PogChamp shit, though, where they were rotating people's faces in and out of that. But we all knew eventually that was going to come to an end anyway. Like, because you can only do that for so long, I guess. So,
right.
But I guess Lizard Face is fine. I'm not opposed to it. Well, whatever.
That's the whole point. It's neutral. It's nice and neutral. Komodo dragons don't cause political unrest.
They
also don't sexually harass anybody.
Yet. Give it time.
Milkshake dragon.
They don't sexually harass. They don't cause political unrest. And then people aren't, they're not racist to them, and they're not sexist. Come on.
But indiscriminately. They don't care what you are. They'll eat you.
If you've been eaten by a Komodo dragon, you did something wrong. You did. I'm just going to put that out there. If you get eaten by a Komodo dragon, you were someplace you weren't supposed to be. So that's going to be, that's going to be the new emo. Like I said, nice and neutral. I hope it doesn't make them seem any less dangerous, because they're actually really fucking dangerous animals. Oh, man. I mean, in case you don't know, I guess a little history on the Komodo dragon, but the way they kill, right, is, they have a ton of bacteria in their mouth, and they bite their prey, right? And they just bite you. They just leave you alone. But they have so much bacteria in their mouth that it causes an infection and will cause the prey to get sick. And eventually it'll get sick to the point that it can't really move or do anything. And then that's when they'll kill them. So like the video I watched, it was like a cow, like or something like that. And they bit the cow. And it followed them. It followed the cow around for like a couple days because it can smell its own. Like when it bites something, it can smell like its bacteria. And the cow went down, couldn't do anything. And yeah, like one dragon like started eating its stomach and like went inside of it from the outside. And one, like, I'm not even playing, like, ate the thing's asshole and like went in from that side and ate from the inside out. So
I just want to say we're recording this on Valentine's Day. So happy Valentine's Day, everybody.
Vital information for your everyday life.
Yeah, that's your new PogChamp, guys. That's your new PogChamp. Now you know.
I'd like to recast votes, please, after this airs.
All right, so let's move on here. Let's talk a little about Ubisoft and how they want to decrease their reliance on AAA game releases. So I think they had their investor call sometime last week. Mm-hmm. I'll just read you a little bit from the article here. It says, Ubisoft does not want to be as reliant on AAA game releases as it has in the past, and instead will look more closely at free-to-play games and at its back catalog to make money. In an earnings call today following the company's Q3 financial results, the publisher said it had plans for fiscal 2020, the period from April 2021 through March 2022, included three AAA releases, but that in the future, Ubisoft didn't want AAA games to be the focus of its business model. We said for a number of years that our normal template is to come with either three or four AAA games, so we'll stick to that plan for fiscal 2020, said CFO Frederick Duguette. But we see that we are progressively, continuously moving from a model that used to be focused on AAA releases to a model that we have a combination of strong releases from AAA and strong back catalog dynamics, but also complementing our program of new releases with free-to-play and other premium experiences. So Ubisoft is ramping up their investments in free-to-play with the help of Tencent, which I'm sure that's to help them get a foothold in China, because I think they said free-to-play games is like 9% of their, of their business is only 9%, that's kind of impressive, to be honest with you, that they make that much money off of their regular releases. And I also read this as them wanting more, live service or games as a service game, because they mentioned Rainbow Six Siege, I think in the last year, had 15 million new players or something like that. And I'm pretty sure they're actively making money off of that live service. They actually did live service right, unlike Blizzard. because I remember when Blizzard said they want all of their games to be live service, and then they released Overwatch 2, and the only revenue generating part of it was loot boxes.
You mean Overwatch.
But they said
Overwatch.
What did I say?
Yeah.
You said Overwatch 2.
Oh my bad, yeah.
Overwatch 2. I was like, wait, Overwatch 2 launched? When did I miss this?
No, my bad. Yeah, no. Yeah, so it's if you want to have a live service game, you have to have a way to actually actively keep it running, So
I think what they did with Siege was rather impressive, though, because that didn't start out running as smoothly, but they cleaned up Siege very fucking well. Siege is a great game in its current state. What's funny though? They said what's in the pipeline, and you notice that Beyond Good and Evil again is not mentioned here.
Not happening. You know?
I think that game's gonna be canceled again some shit.
It's not happening. I don't think they got a good reception from the last trailer that they showed, or the information that they've kind of let out about it, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I heard that the EA executives are supposed to meet this week to determine if they're going to go ahead with Beyond Good and Evil.
I'm here for if they want to get away from more AAA and do more live service, I guess that's fine. I'm curious what live service they'll do. Mobile, what was it? It was Freedom Fighters or something like that. What was that one that they came out that was mobile that had Splinter, that had Sam Fisher and characters from their franchises?
Strike something?
That they can let that die in a fire, and I hope they come back with something better.
Did
than
you
that.
Play it?
I didn't like it. I don't know what this is. Also, it had that controversy about it, and at the time it was coming out, and how it was very this is, you probably shouldn't release this right now with all the things going on in the world.
Well, it wasn't even that. They had a group in there that it openly seemed like they were making Black Lives Matter out to be the bad guy. And it wasn't explicit what they're doing, but they the way the group was presented, you could kind of if you squinted it looked very similar, and it was okay, you know what? It's a little, you said, it's the wrong time, and it's a little too close for what you want to do. You need some distance on that.
Yeah. So I hope they go back to the drawing board on what they want to make a live service. I thought they made a good attempt at the Battle Royale with their one Battle Royale
Hyperscape.
Game. Hyperscape was a good attempt. Obviously I don't think it panned out for them as they wanted, because I haven't heard shit about Hyperscape in who knows how long.
Because they technically speaking called it a flop. I enjoyed it for what it was, right? But I didn't take it seriously. But they're not going back to formula, I would say, but they're definitely making a bunch of changes to it. But that's such an uphill battle because it's coming out so late, right? I mean, my theory holds, man. When it comes to live service games like this, you can really only have two that can hold the space. And everything else outside of that too, it's going to be a rough ride. Like, you know, like, I mean, world, like right yeah. now, like, you know, World of Warcraft and Final Fantasy, I want to say are the two holding that MMO space, and everything outside of that, they're just kind of holding on for dear life. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, Dota and League are like the MOBAs, right? Like those are the two. What is like Fortnite and Apex? Like
Fortnite
those
and Apex,
are your
yeah.
battle royales. Like, I don't know. And Call of Duty Warzone won't go away. Like that's gonna like I guess that's the one thing that breaks the rules is because there's three, but
it will.
I think it
will generate enough money for them to keep it up. That's what I think. Like it'll generate enough money for them to keep it up. Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, I don't know. Like there just doesn't seem to be any more room for battle royales. Like something new has to come up. Like you just have to a new live service style will just have to come up somehow for them, and they'll have to figure out what that is.
Well, isn't
that's gonna be. Go ahead.
Isn't that kind of the point of what they're doing, though, that they realize that they don't want to rely so much on like heavy, like main titles. And so they're trying to like diversify and just get a lot of smaller things out there that they can, you know, have multiple revenue streams instead of hoping like, oh, we've got one. I mean, the AAA games, they aren't quite in the live service mode that you're talking about necessarily. But I mean, if you assume like every developer needs like one sort of like main live service game to be like their lifeline of revenue or something along that. And I guess you could even consider like Madden and FIFA to be like live service games, the way that they're released
every year. Well, to me, that's Siege for them right now. Like to me, Siege is their live service game. That is, you know, it doesn't make probably bukus of money, but it makes quite a bit of money, I would imagine. But I agree with you that they want to like have multiple windows of that, but you don't want to start a live service game just for it to be sent out to die. And I feel like they didn't want Hyperscape to die, but like there's just no space for that game right now. So they have to come up with a game that fits that fits its own mold right now, or else it's just going
to
be sent to die.
You don't start a game to die necessarily, but if you're not making it, if you're not putting AAA resources into something, it's a lot easier to take a lot of flyers on a bunch of smaller things and then see if any one of these will hit, especially if you look like the problem that Jarrett pointed out, is that, you know, like all of these genres kind of have their dominant pair. You can't muscle into that space. It's already taken. So what you really need to be doing is looking like, well, what's the next up and coming genre going to be? You know, you don't want to, you know, you can't be looking at the MMOs like we're going to take out World of Warcraft. You got to be thinking back, you know, back then looking like, well, okay, well, who's coming up with Fortnite? Or and not that Epic even came up with Fortnite. Fortnite wasn't Fortnite back then. But, you know,
Fortnite was saved the world Fortnite.
So you got to be looking like 5 years ahead. What's the next big thing going to be? And the more flyers you take, and if you're not spending AAA money, you can take more flyers then.
Right. But like, what is that right now? We don't know. Like, everything's kind of stagnant right now. And like, I don't know what the next big like boom is going to be. Right. No, I don't think anyone,
if you
knows.
Knew what the next big boom was going to be, you would be making a ton. Right, you'd be making Buku like, bucks like, selling that knowledge to the developers.
Right. But like, what is Ubisoft going to do then? Like if they can't muscle their way into any of the markets that are available right now, like what's the new thing they're going to look into?
I don't think you have to find a big, you don't have to predict what's going to be big. You have to fill a space that's not being filled. So Mike is like, what the fuck you talking about, Ja?
Well, it's more like, what is that space? Because like there are a lot of spaces that are like,
so
there's a lot of checkbox that are checked.
I'll give you some examples right now. Right, League did not expect to be as big as it is. Neither did Fortnite, right? You know how League got big? League got big because somebody recognized it was hard as shit to get into Dota. They recognized it was fucking tough to get into Dota because if you didn't have somebody to play with you to kind of get you into it, learning that shit was difficult because you're just getting your ass whooped the whole time. So they built a Dota game that centered around helping noobs, which is why people were shitting on it when Han came out around the same time, because they're like, League is for noobs. But guess what? Who's laughing now? You know, because it was for noobs, it got more players. Because it had so many players, it got investments. And because it got the investments, they were able to build out the esports scene. Boom. That's how they did it. Fortnite. Mm-hmm. Fortnite Battle Royale was put onto Fortnite to get people to buy Save the World. They wanted a free component to Fortnite. So you come and play the Battle Royale, which is why shotguns worked like fucking snipers for a long time in that goddamn game. And they expect you to buy Save the World. But guess what? Nobody was buying Save the World. So I was like, you know what? Fuck it. Let's make some money. Let's slap a battle pass, a $10 easily accessible battle pass. I couldn't even complain about that shit. You know what I'm saying?
And no more you could complain about anything.
Complain about anything. I was like, oh, that's not that bad. $20? Oh, yeah. That's fine. Yeah. You know? But that's how those spaces, you know, got filled. Apex, in my opinion, made it into, like, basically because, you know, Fortnite came out and immediately took the top spot from PUBG, right? And it knocked out H1N1. Took the top spot from PUBG. Apex comes and knocks out PUBG because you have all of that experience from Respawn and their shooting mechanics and their movement mechanics, and they threw that into a battle royale game that's team based. Well, you know, yeah, that filled a spot.
And they took the character hero trope that
yes, exactly. To it, they took all the good shit and put it together, made a nice sandwich. You know,
yeah.
and we ate the sandwich. You know,
yeah.
And that's what it was. So I think that's what you really have to look for. Now, Hyperscape. The thing about Hyperscape is it is a battle royale that plays like an arena shooter, which I like. I really like that idea. But the problem with arena shooters is that I honestly think a lot of gamers are too lazy to play arena shooters because arena shooters take a lot of work. They tell you got to pay attention. You have to, you know, get your movement together. You got to have the right pickups. You know what I'm saying? Like that's the thing. So that's the thing. I mean, I really hope Hyperscape works out, to be honest with you, but we'll see. But I'm curious to see what Ubisoft does here, because yeah, I mean, like, their bread and butter has been these huge AAA releases. I thought maybe that they would go a little bit soft, like, okay, instead of doing these four huge AAA releases, we might do two AAA releases and then release a couple small games, which in their case could mean picking up some indie studios. Like, if you see some indie studios working on something that you like, then you go ahead and you fund them and you get them to publish under your label. You know, I would appreciate that, to be honest with you, because I do like Ubisoft's approach to how they develop games and what they think games should be and stuff like that. Like, games aren't just cash machines for Ubisoft. I mean, they are cash machines, but it doesn't feel like it. You know, for Ubisoft, they just aren't straight up cash machines.
Well, Assassin's Creed is a cash machine, but sure, go ahead.
They have to at this point. They have to.
Like, I like how you're saying all this, and in my head, I'm just like, Assassin's Creed is 100% a cash machine.
Keep in mind that they did take a time to completely rebuild Assassin's Creed.
Because they had to. Because the returns were getting lower on each return after Unity.
Just like Call of Duty. You don't see that stopping Activision. They're like, no, push that baby out of here. Like, you know, get that thing going.
That's maybe because Activision has more money to be able to more, like, I think Activision has more I don't give a fuck money than Ubisoft has. I don't give a fuck money. That's all I'm gonna say on that.
They did completely rebuild Assassin's Creed, and Ubisoft does a lot of internal diversity programs. And I mean, a lot of that's been foreshadowed by the fact that they've had a ton of sexual harassment issues inside their organization over the last few years too. So, but
yep, and they, you know, and they had that scary takeover moment for a while there that we weren't sure what was going to happen. And yeah,
I mean, they could become the next Activision. It was the same company that put that whole thing together for Activision. So, but no, I'm pretty sure, like, they're a family company. Like, the Ubisoft's been family run since the beginning, and that's what they were trying to avoid. So, but yeah, I am curious to see what they do. I want to see if they, I can't see them just going straight up like, okay, we're going to be releasing a whole bunch of free to play titles and, you know, go that direction. I think in the mobile space, they'll definitely try to get more free to play in there. But I think from a normal space, they're going to try more live service games. I'm curious to see how that goes for them. So, But yeah, let's go ahead and move on. We're actually going to talk about some TVs and movies here for a little bit. So Pedro Pascal has been cast as Joel, and Bella Ramsey has been cast as Ellie for The Last of Us HBO series. Don't know how I feel about it. Well, I'll put it like this. As I say, I don't know how I feel about it, but like for Pedro, I am positive he can act the part of Joel. He can act it. He's a great actor. I'm worried about the voice, though, because Joel is that voice, man. Like, that's major, you know, when it comes to Joel. And I know, understand, like, it's a bit more impactful in the video game because, you know, it's its whole character. But Pedro Pascal, like, his natural voice doesn't really resonate Joel with me.
Well, he's going to have that, like, that little, like, reverb he gets from the helmet, right?
Yeah. yeah. Like, he's gonna need like that southern accent, like that, like is that a Texas?
You gotta have that twang. No, yeah. It's I don't think it's Texas, is it?
Well, wasn't the first one in Texas? Isn't that where it started? I'm pretty sure the first Last of Us was in Texas, wasn't it? That like in the very beginning.
I'm not sure though. I was set in Austin. Okay. Yeah, Austin. Yeah.
It was in Austin, yeah. So you know, he's going to like that southern accent's very important. And in terms of Bella Ramsey, she's 17 now. She does look young for her age. She's 17, mm-hmm. but she needs to look 13. And more importantly, act 13, because the charm of Ellie, in my opinion, in the first Last of Us game was her acting her age. In this shit show of a world that she was in, she was still acting her age, you know? That's the thing I'm kind of worried about for that. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, they might age her up a bit. I think they might make it 16 or some like teenage angst age. Probably.
I don't know if it hits the same way then, because it's like, kind of like her. I don't know if it hits the same way, like, if she's 16. Like, you know. Because, take for example, I mean, what happens in, like, that DLC in the mall, you know? Like, that was some 13-year-old shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, that was some 13-year-old shit going on there. So, yeah, like, I'm curious. I am willing to give it the benefit of the doubt, for sure. I'm definitely willing to give it the benefit of the doubt. There was some other actress that people wanted to play Ellie, but because she looked like her.
Arya Stark?
No, it wasn't her. It wasn't anybody from Game of Thrones. Yeah, it was
somebody else. It wasn't Millie Bobby Brown, was it?
No, the girl from Stranger. No, I can't remember the name of the other person. But the thing about her, like, once I took one look at her, I was like, yeah, she looks too old. She looks like Ellie Last of Us Part 2. That's what she looks like. Ellie Last of Us Part 2. But not like, I think people forget how young Ellie looked. Not to mention that she looked like,
Ellie, I'm going to be honest. Go ahead. Sorry.
I was like, you know, the original face for Ellie looked more like Elliot Page. She was Ellen Page at the time.
Elliot Page, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, back then, yeah, I could see that. It's, honestly, no matter who they pick, because we've heard their voices for so long, and all those scenes had such an emotional impact, like, it's gonna be hard no matter who gets the role. I don't think you will satisfy everybody 100% no matter who you pick.
Well, I'm not asking them to satisfy everybody. I just want them to satisfy me. Like, that's
it's not always about you. I know this show is typically about you, John, but not everything has to be about you. No, I mean, I'm not going to lie. When I watch it, I'm still going to be like partially like, this just doesn't sound right. Like, I don't
right,
know.
Yeah.
But also, I don't know how to feel about The Last of Us anymore anyway. So like I'm going to watch it, but we'll see what happens.
Well, I mean, I'm pretty sure they're going to do the first game at least first, and maybe in season 2 they do the second.
They'll do the same. God.
They might even break the first. They might even break the show into multiple seasons. Like, you know, like the first game is like the first two or three seasons, and the second game is like, you know, two or three seasons. So who knows?
I guess they could like cliffhang on the college scene for season one, and then we go into season two in winter.
Maybe they could
like they could do that. They could. Yeah. I could see that being a cliffhang moment. Anyways,
right.
We'll see what they do. I don't know. I'm going to fucking watch it anyway. It doesn't fucking matter who they put in that role.
Everybody's so going to watch it. Everybody's going to watch it. They're going to They're going to complain about Abby, and they're going to watch it so they can hate her.
we probably got like two. We got to get through season one before we get to Abby's casting in season two. Unless they literally just like start with that shit. Like,
I feel I don't know. Whoever plays Abby, I feel bad. No, I also say feel bad for them. But to get Abby's body, man, like you, because you know Abby's body model was, I forget the name of the woman who's Abby's body model, but she's like a CrossFit champion or whatever. That's who she is. That's why Abby had the body she did. And I'm like, just to get close to that physique is going to require insane training.
How many Hollywood actors do you see who go through like insane training because they know they've got a shirtless scene and then some movie? And I mean, you know, what is Hugh Jackman? What was his whole routine every time he had to play the Wolverine?
A woman can do it. Yeah, like she can do it. Just like the guys do it. Like
she can, but like for it's still an insane amount of training.
Oh yeah.
You know, and Hugh Jackman is definitely getting paid way more than whoever this actress that said, please, Abby, on this show. Trust me. Like, you know, that's the thing. Look at even Ben Affleck, fat man for Batman. And you know he got that's just a joke, but he actually did work out a ton to get that body for Batman, to be honest with you. I mean, I guess I'll give them enough money to make it worth it, but that's going to be like some crazy shit, man. Like seeing them transform. I would love to see them like kind of document that process, to be honest with you.
It's probably in the contract that they'll probably write that the studio has to pay for the trainer and the nutritionist that probably has to help mold that, because there's no way the actor or actress is going to do that out of pocket.
Oh God, no. Yeah. And it's like, I don't even know if you can get a physique like that fast. Like that's crazy. Like a CrossFit champion physique.
You better start looking for an Abby now, I guess. Better start working on it now for season three or two or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah. So let's move on from that. Let's talk about the Borderlands movie, which I never really thought was a good idea, to be honest with you.
Fuck? God,
I never really thought it was a good idea to make a Borderlands movie. But either way, Jack Black has been cast as Claptrap. And this is another. So here's the thing about the Borderlands movie from my perspective. I like all of the talent in the movie. I don't like them cast for these characters at all, though. That's the thing. Because, okay, so Jack Black, my bad, is Claptrap. Whatever. Yeah. I got it eventually. So Jack Black is Claptrap, but, you know, their comedy styles don't mesh, right? Like Claptrap is funny because he's a confident idiot. Like he is dead serious in the shit that he says, you know. And I think Jack Black is very animated when he does his comedy, and even his voice is like very animated when he does his comedy or the stuff that he's doing voice acting for. Claptrap is animated, but it's only one type of animation. It's a very one-dimensional type of deal, you know? So I don't know. Like, it doesn't seem like a good fit. Kate Blanchett is Lilith, and I'm sure she can act the part perfectly fine, but I hate to say it. I feel like she's too old for it.
She looks good, though.
Especially, especially with Kevin Hart as Roland, which I think is a terrible casting. Like, first of all, Roland is not comedic. Like, he's not very funny. He's supposed to be a leader. He's supposed to be stoic. And he's like, he's the soldier. You know what I'm saying? He's a big guy. Kevin Hart is a small man. Like, and even when he plays, like, did you see him in Jumanji? Like, like that. That's kind of part of the joke, right? It's kind of part of the joke. So, and then this is this, I don't get this one at all. Jamie Lee Curtis is Tannis. She's Tannis in the movie. And I'm just kind of like, really? Like, Jamie Lee Curtis? I don't see it. I mean, she's a great actress, so maybe she could pull it off. But I feel like a lot of these characters are going to be off character, right? Like, it's not going to stay close to the source material. You know? Like, I just don't see Jamie Lee Curtis portraying Tannis's hate of bacon as well as her voice actress did.
This is going to be a shit show. Like, these people have to be just like, I'll do it and I'll just cash my check. Like, there's no way this is going to actually be a good movie. Like, there's just no fucking way, right? Like, there's just no way.
Jamie Lee Curtis actually has, like, nerdy interests, and she may very well have played Borderlands.
She probably has. So I don't doubt that.
She may actually, like, know what she's getting into in this role, and she may understand, you know, that what she has to do. It's possible with Kevin Hart and Jack Black have gone, well, Jack Black especially has done roles outside of his comedic roots, that maybe he would understand that he, you know, how he needs to play this, you know, to hit Claptrap properly. I don't know that he's gonna
I'm less worried about Jamie Lee Curtis than I am the other actors and actresses, because I think Jamie Lee Curtis can play all sorts of styles as she's shown over the years. But there's just no way that this is good. I just can't. I don't see whatever magic that they are trying to weave to make this good, and I just don't see it. So I will be my expectations are so fucking low. If this is an average movie, I will think it is probably the greatest thing ever right now.
If it's not bad, it's good, basically.
Yeah, like, if it's not complete hot garbage, I will probably think this is the greatest video game movie ever, because my expectations are just so low for this now.
That's how I came to enjoy the Need for Speed movie, actually. Oh my God. My expectations are so low. I'm like, hey, this ain't bad.
Ja, I really need you to go watch the King of Fighters movie. Go in with the Dead or Alive movie.
Say no more.
Go in with the lowest expectations possible. Bro, I think there is a King of Fighters movie, but go watch the Dead or Alive movie with the most lowest expectations.
Yeah, like, I watched the trailer for that. I was like, oh my God. It was just, it was bad. I mean, video game movies just don't have a great reputation, but, like, they're not all bad. I mean, Sonic was pretty decent.
Detective Pikachu was good.
Like, yeah, exactly. They're getting better. People are taking them more seriously. You know, I think, thank you, Marvel. I think for that. Thank you, Marvel.
I stand by that the Ratchet and Clank movie was good, but no one went and saw it. That was the thing. I don't think anyone went to see it.
Well, I think it's because a lot of people are, they're just like, a video game movie is going to be bad. You know, so just like besides X-Men, the Fox comic book movies were not that good, you know? So it was kind of the same situation with that. So, but all right. So we're going to wrap up with that. Like, thank you guys for listening. So let's see, what do we have on the network this week? We had a brand new Sit Rep Happy Hour. We had a new Ready Room, which is our that is our podcast. I'm not sure if you've seen this, Mike. Our Dropping Spicy community is so active. We have a podcast dedicated to the community of Dropping Spicy. That's what Ready Room is. So,
Yeah. Cool. That's dope.
Yeah. So actually, does good numbers. You'd be surprised. I was like, okay, if they're listening to it, we can do it. So yeah. There's Ready Room. That's about Apex Legends, or more specifically about the Apex Legends community. Warcraft Reloaded, which is our World of Warcraft classic show. We did have a brand new Push the Point, which is our Overwatch League podcast, but only released one episode a month right now. And it'll start going back to normal once Overwatch League comes back. New Double Tap for the FGC, Dropping Spicy Proper, which is about Apex Legends, and a new Wondrous Tales, which is about Final Fantasy 14. Also, a new Torn the Goblin we had this last week with Nick, and new Night City Stories. We did get that out. It was a day late, but we managed to get that out. So we're finally, you know, in Act 2 and going through, you know, our missions, our beginning missions there. So, and if you listened, when Bob was talking, I forgot to address this on the show, but when Bob was talking about Bukkake, we cannot find any reference to that in the game. I went back and I watched so much of the video. I was like, Bob, they did not say that shit. I think they said Kabuki and he heard Bukkake. So just to clarify, I'm going to make sure I bring it back to him on the show. I'm actually looking for the part, because I recorded my entire gameplay and I'm looking for the part where they say Kabuki, so I can send it over to Bob. I'm like, Bob, they didn't say Bukkake, they said Kabuki. So
so if you're, glad things haven't changed. Yeah. Glad Smash Those Buttons has stayed this prestigious level that we're at.
Hey man, we're setting the bar over here, okay?
Smash Those Buttons show where we talk about eating ass and Bukkake.
Yeah. Mash Those Buttons. If you listen to it, we'll put it out there.
So if you're interested in following up with that saga, go check out Night City Stories. If you just want to find out what happens when I get the evidence that I need that Bob is wrong. So that's on Night City Stories. That's coming out weekly. It's a limited series for now. Oh, man. But like I said before, thank you guys for listening so much. If you want to keep up with us,
I would pay $7 million for the source code just to do the control F to look for Bukkake.
Oh man. So yeah, if you want to follow us on Twitter, that would be twitter.com/TheMashNetwork. Mike, where can they find you?
All right. You can find me on Twitter at KeylockNVP. I don't do anything anymore. I'm just there. I post dumb shit. Come hang out.
Nick, what about you?
I am at WookieBH on Twitter. You can also find me here on the Mash Those Buttons Network on WoW Talk, where we talk about Warcraft news and guild management stuff, and also on the Torn and the Goblin, where we talk about Warcraft story and lore.
Yes, and you can find me on Twitter at Josh Stradamus. You can also find me streaming on our Twitch channel, which is twitch.tv/mashthebuttons. I usually stream on Friday nights. We play some GTFO, even though our time's kind of running out because one of our teammates, he is having a baby in like 4 weeks or something like that. So we got to get that done. And I'm pretty sure he's going to miss the entire next rundown. So if you think you can run with us, we're looking for a sub for now. yeah, but you can also join us on Discord, which is mash.gg/discord, like I said. We have a whole community of people there, so come and talk games with us. We'd love to have you there. I encourage you guys to stay tuned after the show to hear more about our other shows. I also encourage you guys to, contact the podcast with comments and questions. You can reach us on the Discord or on Twitter, or you can just shoot us an email at contact@mash.gg. If you enjoy the show and you want to help us out, the best way to do that is to ask for, share the show with others and rate and review on your favorite podcast platform of choice. And if you want to take a support a bit further, you can actually just go to Mash the Buttons website, which is mashthebuttons.com/support-us. And I'll show you all the different ways you can help support Mash Those Buttons. It's a couple of them, are like one with Patreon, which is patreon.com/mashthebuttons. And you can help support the network with tiers starting at $1 a month and gain early access to content as well as exclusive content. We have a Teespring store there with some merch, which is teespring.com/store/mashthosebuttons. And like I mentioned earlier, we do have some Twitch subs, which is twitch.tv/mashthosebuttons. You could drop a sub there if you want to support. And yeah, with that, we are done for this week. Thank you very much, Mike, for coming by. It is always a blast.
Anytime, to hit me up whenever you need me. I'm always just a ping away.
Yeah, like an hour before the show, what you doing tonight.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. Hey. Sure.
Yeah. All right, everybody, have a good night. We'll catch you next week.
Yeah.
Peace out.
Thanks for listening to a Mash Those Buttons production. If you enjoyed the show, you should check out mashthosebuttons.com and see if any of our other shows might interest you. All of our shows are available on your podcast platform of choice like Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more. If you enjoy our content, you can help support Mash Those Buttons by becoming a patron at patreon.com/mashthosebuttons, where you can receive Patreon bonuses for as little as $1 a month. You can connect with Mash Those Buttons at twitter.com/TheMashNetwork, facebook.com/MashThoseButtons, or join our Discord at mash.gg/Discord.